Hi, folks. From the World Newsroom in Boston, this is technology correspondent Clark Boyd, and this is a special technology podcast. The World is a co-production of the BBC World Service, Public Radio International, and WGBH Public Radio in Boston. Find out more about the show at theworld.org. Okay, now I was going to hold off and not do another tech podcast until tomorrow, but we've got a total solar eclipse coming up tomorrow. And I think eclipses are pretty cool. And we just happen to have the world's Marco Werman in Libya, in the desert, there to watch the total solar eclipse. So here's your little special tech podcast coverage of this. Our host, Aaron Schachter, spoke with Marco.
Tomorrow, and only tomorrow, 12 countries will have one thing in common. Those 12 countries are Brazil, Ghana, Togo, Benin, Nigeria, Niger, Libya, Greece, Turkey, Georgia, Russia, and Kazakhstan. We want to know what they will have in common. To help us out, Marco Werman has traveled to one of those countries, and he joins us now by satellite phone. Marco?
Aaron, I'm standing under an unbelievably starry sky in the middle of the Libyan desert. I traveled about an hour and a half from Tripoli, and then another hour and a half on bus. Between the waiting and everything, it was about 6 hours to get here. I'm now in a colony that resembles a refugee camp with about 3,000 people from 45 countries around the globe and a handful of Libyans. And tomorrow we're all going to see something really spectacular.
Or not see something spectacular. Marco, what's going on?
Aaron, tomorrow at about 12:10 local time here in Libya, we're going to see a total eclipse of the sun. It's going to last about 4 minutes and 3 seconds, which makes it the longest total solar eclipse so far of the 21st century.
And we listed a bunch of countries that run in a line from Brazil all the way to southern Russia and Kazakhstan. We wanted to know what they have in common, and the answer is
the path of totality, that path of darkness, the moon passing in front of the sun, will start off the coast of Brazil and will swoop across the Atlantic Ocean. I think it goes at something like 1,000 miles an hour and then will cross into West Africa, kind of a S-curve, and then up into the Libyan desert. Here we'll see it for 4 minutes and 3 seconds. And for astronomers, every second counts.
And Marco, remind us what a total solar eclipse is.
You've got the Earth and then the Moon and then the Sun, and the Moon creates a dark shadow that sweeps across the Earth in a narrow path, no wider than 160 miles. So you need to place yourself very strategically right in the middle of that 160 miles, and if you can, then you see something really spectacular. Most people say you've got to see it at least once before you die.
And why is this one going to be so special this year?
This is, you know, Libya's chance to kind of shine in the sun, or not shine in the sun, as would be the case for a total solar eclipse, and show that, you know, they're welcome to the rest of the world. And in fact, a fellow I spoke to today named Abdallah, who has come down as part of a tour group, told me exactly that.
It is a great event for us, you know. So many foreign peoples, they are coming here in Libya to see this event, and all the Libyans, they are appreciate this. And as you see, when you are driving in bus, you can see all the people, they are waving hands to say hello or to say welcome. They are so happy.
So, Marco, who else is going to be there? There's you, Abdullah, Gaddafi maybe?
There are some rumors that Colonel Gaddafi is going to be here. None of them are confirmed. It's hard to tell exactly how many people here, but it is a virtual city of people from all over the world. Some astronomers who have seen eclipses as many as 24 times. Some people who have never seen eclipses in their life. Obviously, this is not a cheap trip to take, but there are people here who have taken and have spent a lot of money to get here. One guy I met named Landon Knoll is with the Fremont Peak Observatory in California, and he's just studying one thing when a solar eclipse happens. This will be his 12th solar eclipse, and he actually has told his boss when he goes to get a new job, and I think that speaks volumes about exactly how seriously he takes his work and how much more seriously he takes astronomy. He needs time off to go to total solar eclipses and to watch transit of Venus and Mercury. Anyway, here's Landon Knoll explaining why he thinks this total solar eclipse is going to be so spectacular.
Very clear skies, great environment, wonderful people, being in sort of this grand celestial concert. Personally, I'll be watching the sun and the corona. I have some instruments that I'm going to be looking for something called Vulcanoid asteroids, asteroids that orbit the sun very close inside Mercury's orbit. So while they're doing their work, I'll be enjoying nature's wonders.
Marco, tell us what it looks like there. You said there are thousands of people camped out in the desert.
As I told you earlier, we arrived in the middle of nowhere and got on a bus and then drove for an hour and a half across just flat desert. And then suddenly on the horizon, this little black line started to appear, and it became pretty apparent that this was a small city. And as we got closer, it's a small city of tents. Red Bull has a tent here, and they're playing house music. It's a little off-putting because an eclipse is such kind of a sacred event to have this kind of marketing going on. They somehow managed to bring in running water. There are portable chemical toilets for what could be as many as 3,000 people, perhaps more. It's kind of surreal. I can't sort of take it all in.
It sounds kind of like a rave in the desert.
It's a rave for geeky astronomers.
The world's Marco Werman in the Libyan desert. You can read Marco's journal from Libya and see photos he's taken there by logging on to theworld.org. And he'll be back on the air tomorrow to give us his first-hand account of the total eclipse of the sun.
And like Aaron said, Marco will be back not only on the air tomorrow, he'll be back on the podcast too. I plan on putting out a full podcast tomorrow. That's if my wife doesn't decide to give birth tonight for some reason. As I told you in the last podcast, we're waiting for that, so I could be gone at any moment, which means you'll still get the tech podcast, but that you'll be in the capable hands of my colleague Alex Galifant in Boston. This is technology correspondent Clark Boyd saying, have a great evening.